If you haven't been here in a while or ever, you might be from out of town, or this is your first time back to church in a while, and maybe your last after you hear me preach. We have been doing a series for Christmas called Festivus, the Festivus for the rest of us. And if it rings a bell to you, it's because I'm sure you've heard about it before from that great theologian, Jerry Seinfeld is his English translation. It was on one of the Seinfeld episodes. It was a show entitled The Strike, but what they did with it is they had Frank Costanza, George's father, who created a new holiday, and that holiday was Festivus. And basically the reason he did this is because he thought Christmas had gotten out of hand. He realized this as he was pummeling his hands down upon another man in a shopping mall as they were reaching for the same doll. And so he created a simpler form of celebration. And it's an ideal that I really like. It's something that I think is wonderful and beautiful, a simpler form of celebration. Two nights ago, our heater went out in our house. And we just put a brand new unit in July, the end of July, a brand new 5-ton packaged unit. And it went out and it got cold. So by 11:45, I drove over to the Super Walmart on Austin Highway. And there's some weird people in there that hour, let me tell you. I'm sure they're looking at me going, whoa. But I went to the heater aisle, and thankfully there were lots of them because we live in South Texas, and so you don't usually use many of these unless you're in a deer blind or something. And so I grabbed a couple of little space heaters, and I put them in the cart, and I went over, and I paid for them. And I went home, and I set them up in my kids' room and so that they would be warm. Something that we've learned about our house is the people who remodeled it before us did not believe in insulation. I don't know if it was a theological issue or what, but so it got really cold in their rooms, and I put those little heaters in there, and they were great. And Jenna and I just kind of snuggled a little bit and got some more blankets on, and we were fine. When I woke up the next morning, it was like 55 degrees in our bedroom. I have a little thermometer in there. It was chilly, to say the least. So they came out, and the people who originally sold us the unit and installed it are gone for the week of Christmas. God bless them for taking the time off. But their voice machine said, Merry Christmas, we're not here until this date. And I'm like, Merry Christmas, I'm cold. You know, it's cold outside. My baby is freezing. You know, Corbin, he's got tons of body fat on him. He's like me. He's fine. But little Gracie, she has no body fat, and, you know, she's shivering. We need some heat. So I end up calling a few other places, and finally somebody came out, rearranged their schedule so they could come out, and they fixed it for us. And I was so happy about that. But then he came and said, your heater works, but your AC no longer does. Well, great, because it's Texas, and you know 2 days later you're going to want to turn the AC back on. But I'll deal with that when it comes. And so we get through yesterday. And last night I went to sleep. And I don't know if you're like me. I have this window of opportunity to go to sleep. I have this window of time that if I hit that window perfectly, I will go to sleep and it will be wonderful. If I miss that window of opportunity, I'm awake for a long time. And the window could come at any time, really. It can come at 9 o'clock. And I look at my wife and I'm like, I'm going to bed. She's like, seriously, it's the window. You know, there's really nothing I can do about it. I have to go to bed. Or it can come later. I missed the window last night. And so I was up till 3 a.m. last night. And Jenna asked me, is there anything you're worried about? No, I missed my opportunity. And now so here I am watching. A good thing I'd recorded all those Christmas movies I told you I like so much. So I was watching those really bad, cheesy Christmas movies, just loving it. But wishing I could go to sleep. This morning I wake up and my throat's killing me and I'm talking like Barry White, which is fun for a little bit, but then, you know, kind of like, okay, I want my voice back, and I just don't feel well. Corbin's been sick. Gracie's been sick. Gracie's just had a fever today. She feels horrible. She's kind of just moping around, and I was moping around, and, you know, so then we have my father-in-law's mother come over for a little Christmas lunch on her way to Dallas, and we do presents there, and so there's a bunch of adults, about 7 adults and 3 kids in our house, and guess what? It's hot. Yeah, remember that AC thing we talked about earlier? Yeah, it's gone. It's not on. The windows are, you know, the sun's beating down on our house, and we're just like, oh, this is just great. So, you know, I'm still not feeling well, and I have to rush up here to do this service, which I'm so grateful and thankful for. But scattered throughout you all are my family members, and right after the service, we'll be going back to the heat box on Edgewood. There will be 13 adults, 3 children, and 1 puppy. I love Christmas. I love this time of year, don't you? I mean, this is what happens. You have these dreams and visions of a beautiful Christmas celebration. You have these dreams and visions of everything going right and waking up together and, hey, let's bake cookies right now because that's what we do. Jen and I watched a Christmas movie last night, and what they did is they made a gingerbread house together. Like, they didn't go to H-E-B and get one of those pre-made, we have the gingerbread slices for you and the icing in the tube and all the everything you need. No, they were like cracking eggs, throwing flour, throwing oil, baking up the huge sheets of perfectly square gingerbread, and they made this gigantic, beautiful gingerbread mansion right there on their island. That's a Christmas tradition. You know, that's fun. That's what I want to do. And let's have eggnog and sing carols by our piano. Let's do those type things, because that's really what Christmas always turns out to be in my house, isn't it yours? But why do we put ourselves through that? Every year it's the same thing. My favorite day without fail in the year is today. I love me some Christmas Eve. Why? Because Christmas Day, it's here. But Christmas Eve, it's still coming. The worst day of the year? December 26th. Because it's done. I love it. I love this time of year. I love the anticipation. I love the build-up. And every year I do the same thing, and I tell myself the same thing. You are believing in something that you cannot achieve. You are expecting a Christmas season and time with your family members and everything to work out perfectly. You will get a gift that your wife will not return. Every year I think these things, and I tell myself, it's not going to happen. And yet I still have that hope. And we still run ourselves ragged and crazy. And we still just go nuts during this time of year. And I know some of you have driven in far from out of town. You're like, who is this knucklehead preaching to me? But you're going through the experience right now in your relative's house, aren't you? When is it time for us to go home? Christmas has these visions of sugar plums, if you will. These sweet, beautiful visions that we think of in this holiday that we want to achieve, and yet it never seems to happen. Maybe because we've gotten caught up in a world that focuses on the wrong thing. Maybe like George Costanza, we're finally having a moment where we're banging our hands on something and saying, there's got to be a different way. There's got to be another way to celebrate this night, this time of year, this season. I mean, why do we get together at all? It's because of the birth of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It's the birth of the Christ child. That night, some shepherds were in the fields outside the village guarding their flocks of sheep. Suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them. They were sore afraid. But the angel reassured them. Don't be afraid, he said. I bring you good news of great joy for everyone. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, has been born tonight in Bethlehem, the city of David. And this is how you will recognize him. You will find a baby lying in a manger wrapped snugly in strips of cloth. Suddenly the angel was joined by a vast host of others, the armies of heaven praising God. Glory to God in the highest heaven and peace on earth to all whom God favors. When the angel had returned to heaven, the shepherds said to each other, well, let's go. Think about this. That night in the field, the shepherds, I don't know what you picture the shepherds being. I don't know what kind of images you have when I talk about the shepherds in the fields. But more than likely, from what we know, from what occurs today with the Bedouins, who these people would have been, and the shepherds of Israel and what they traditionally were, they generally 12, 13-year-old girls. Didn't know that, did you? They still are today. If you go out and you find a shepherd out in the fields of Israel, you will probably more than likely find more little girls than you will boys. So here are these kids out in the middle of nowhere with their sheep. And I'm sure they spread out during the day, but during the night they probably come together. And they're sitting around a campfire and just waiting for the next day to begin. The same thing they do every day. And here comes this angel. I love it. I changed part of the translation of this to the King James Version when it says they were sore afraid, because I just love the way that sounds. They were sore afraid. They were frightened. I mean, I don't know if you've ever seen an angel. I don't know if God has ever come to you in that respect. But I'm sure it's a little daunting to have God just appear out of nowhere and going to God's angels. And so here these kids are sitting there, and here comes this angel. And the angel's like, hey, don't be afraid. The Messiah's come. Now, these people have been waiting for this. These shepherds have been waiting for this their entire life. Their entire life. They know the Torah. They know the books of the Bible. They know the prophecies in Isaiah. They know the things that point to the Messiah. They know that one day someone will come to bring them eternal life. And they wait on that day. And they wait on that day. And here it is. And I love it. But a whole bunch of other angels come. They're like, God rocks. And the shepherds are no longer afraid, but they're like, we've got to go see this little baby. Somebody asked me in the office the other day if the shepherds left their sheep or if they brought the sheep with them. And I said, well, I don't know. I mean, it doesn't really say in the Bible. I mean, I know what it looks like at my nativity scene at home. We have a bunch of little sheep, you know, that are all one section, you know, whatever it is, resin, that have been poured together in a mold. And there are, you know, so there's about six sheep, apparently, that were at the stable that night, according to my nativity scene. I don't know if they brought the sheep in. But if you think about it, this is a pretty big responsibility for these kids. This was their family's wealth. This is what their family did. This was it. You take care of these sheep. You lead them to water. You protect them from animals that would come to hurt them. You're a shepherd. It's a pretty big deal. And yet, in my heart of hearts, I know that they're like, sheep, we're gone. See you later. Don't be bad while I'm gone. Sorry. So we get, you know, you have an 18-month-old son. This is what happens. I know those jokes came before he was around. I know. I have a feeling that they just went. When they heard the news of the Messiah, that Jesus Christ had been born, nothing could have stopped them or prevented them from going to be with him. Nothing could have stopped them from spending time with the Messiah. Now look, they didn't even know what he would do. They didn't have the knowledge that we do, knowing that he would live to be 30 and then begin his ministry and minister for 3 years in this world and then suffer and die and raise again from the dead so that we could have eternal life, so that we could have freedom from sin and death and suffering. They didn't know any of that stuff, and yet they were there. It's just like the disciples when Jesus begins his ministry and he walks by. There's a couple of dudes out in a boat. He's like, hey, come follow me. They drop their nets and they take off. They leave their dad in the boat and they're gone. Man, these people had some passion for the Messiah. They had some passion for Jesus Christ. And so this time of year, what do I want to do? I want to recapture that passion in my life. I mean, I love decorating my house and my tree. I love going out and shopping for my wife and my kids. I love eggnog a lot. I mean, wow. Like, I'm like I like sample different eggnogs. I like it. I love Bing Crosby. I love Christmas Vacation. I love most everything about the world's Christmas holiday. But I love Jesus more. I love that little baby more. So much more. That I don't want my life to just center around him once a year. That I don't want my celebration of the birth of Christ to happen only on one day. That I don't want December 24th to come around and I get so excited for December 25th. And then December 26th, it's like Monday after a Sunday when you're all pumped up and fired up and you're worshiping God. And then you go to work on Monday and you're like, I want the anticipation and the excitement and the passion I have for today to be every day. I want my life to be about his life. And so I got to strip away all the Christmas trees and all the pretty manger scenes and all the presents and all the songs and all the movies and all of the stuff. And then I got to move on and I got to strip away the television and the books and the songs and the things I do the rest of the year. And I have to narrow it down and say, it's now about you. It's now about you. Jesus Christ in my life, each and every moment of my life is dedicated to living for you. My life has got to be about his life. Why? Because people need to know him. My life has got to be lived for him so that other people can see his glory, can know his love, and can feel his presence in this world. We're in a world of hurt. I mean, I don't know what's going to happen next year. I don't know if anybody out there has a bead on the stock market. I don't know if anyone knows what's going to happen with the economy. Some of you may have lost your jobs recently. I know quite a few people, some of my friends that have lost their jobs recently. I know people that have lost their homes. I've seen a lot of hurt this Christmas season, a lot of pain this Christmas season. And from what everybody says, it's not getting any better. Just because it turns from 2008 to 2009 doesn't mean that things are going to change just like that. We live in a world that is uncertain, that could change in a moment's notice. But we have a Savior, a rock on which to stand that is always there and always strong and always faithful and always true. Man, people need to hear that, not just tonight. They need to hear that tomorrow, in December 26th, and June 3rd, and August 12th. They need to know about Jesus Christ each and every day. They need to have people, us, those of us who believe in Jesus Christ, the vast army of God going around saying, glory to God in the highest. Man, that's what tonight is about. Tonight is about a world-changing event, a life-changing event, a moment and a time in history when God decided to come to us. When God decided to be among us so that we might be with him. That's what tonight is about. So, what do you do with that? What do you do when you leave this room and the band's going to come up and we're going to do as we always do, silent night, and we're going to hold the candles up and we're all going to leave in a silent way? And you're going to go to your homes and some of you are going to open presents on Christmas Eve. You're wrong. You shouldn't do that. The correct time to do that is on December 25th. We could have a church slit right here, couldn't we? Some of you are going to go home to families and you're going to have dinners and parties. And maybe some of you are those lucky ones who have a piano in your home and you'll get to sit around the piano and sing carols to one another. Tomorrow is going to happen and then December 26th. What's going to happen on those days? What's going to happen on those days when we move beyond this celebration of Jesus Christ and we move back into our lives? What's going to happen on those days when this next Monday rolls around and the economy isn't any better and your job is still in jeopardy and and maybe you're still looking for a job. What's going to happen on December 29th? December 30th. And my prayer for all of us is that this feeling of joy and peace that comes with celebrating Jesus Christ doesn't leave. That this glorious night in which we have this anticipation of some world-changing event doesn't leave our heart. That tonight it makes a mark on our soul that never goes away. That as we move forward into this world, nothing can touch us because we have the love and power and blood of Jesus Christ washing over us. That's my prayer tonight. Not that you would have a white Christmas. Not that you would have some wonderful time. Not that even your family would get along with one another this Christmas, because let's face it, you're going to get in some tense arguments, aren't you? But my prayer for you is that you would know the love and peace of Jesus Christ in your heart and in your soul. And then the rest of it will take care of itself. Know Jesus Christ. If you don't know Him, come talk to me. If you've never experienced His love or His peace, His saving grace, come talk to me. Come see me. Let's talk about what sweet baby Jesus can do for you. Let us pray. Gracious and Heavenly Father, we thank You and praise You for being the God of peace and love that You are. Lord, we thank You that so many years ago You were willing to send Your Son to be with us on earth, to know what we know, to experience what we experience. Lord, we thank You that You are willing to suffer, to die for us. But You didn't want to leave it there, God, because You love us more than that. We thank You that You conquered death, that You raised from the dead, and that You offer us that same experience. God, we thank You for that love, for that passionate love that You have for us, for that grace and peace that we can experience as we accept that gift of life. Lord, I pray that we would do that. I pray that we would open our heart and our soul that we might truly experience Your love and Your peace. And if we did it a long time ago, Lord, just remind us of it. Remind us of that gift of life that You have given us. Remind us of Your love in our life. And let us begin to live our lives anew for You. Let it be like the birth of us today, Lord, as we go into this world living for You. God, those people who have never experienced Your grace or love or peace, who might be in this room or might be someone we know, let us be Your love for them. Open up their heart and their mind and their soul that they may experience the movement of Your Spirit. God, we thank You for this night, for this silent night.